Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Very excited for you to be here today. We have a lovely guest. Today's guest is Michelle Nunez. She is a teacher-trained yoga expert, meditation practitioner, and she's an actress known for her role as Zane on Tyler Perry's Ruthless. Michelle has completed over 550 hours of yoga teacher training. That is so much. And she practices various meditation styles, including mindfulness, of course, yoga nidra, and non-dual awareness meditation. Michelle stays grounded in her faith through Bible study and philanthropy, while also advocating for animal rights. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so wonderful to be here. Like I was saying, it's just what you do here is really special, and all the energies that you share and perspectives, it's really cool to see all of it aligning in one space like this.
Thank you so much, and I'm so glad you're here. I'm so interested in hearing about your background and what brought you to yoga. You have a lot of training, so I'm excited to see like what kickstarted your journey.
Yeah, totally. I know. Actually, my training was such a journey in and of itself. I took my first yoga class and I immediately fell in love with it. And it was honestly within a month, I started researching different schools to attend. And I was living in Orlando, Florida at the time. And I quit my job, moved to St. Petersburg, Florida, because the school I wanted to teach or train with was in Tampa, Florida. And so I moved, no job, no idea what I was doing, moved in with someone, and like their whole family, they just welcomed me in so lovingly. And I was training for a month and I loved it. And then I actually was able to secure my 500 hour training in addition to the 250 hour training because I started cleaning the studio after classes every day. And the owner was like, okay, well, I'll let you continue training. You just come in and clean the studio. And that worked out really well. I'm so grateful for that.
So why did you, what actually brought you to yoga in itself?
I think it was the sort of need to find a deeper meaning to it all. I was working this job that I honestly wanted. I went into college as a junior because I just sort of like sped through high school, and I started college my junior year. So I was just like 2 years ahead. And so I was in college and sort of wrapping that up pretty quickly because I was taking summer classes. So what would have been a 4-year degree, because I started college in high school, it became really a 2-year degree. But because I took summer classes, it actually became even less. So I was like in college for like a blink of an eye. And it was my last semester that I started taking yoga classes. And I had a full-time job. It was like the perfect thing that happened. I had this internship for a year during college, and then they hired me on when I was graduating. They promised me this job, and so I was working this job, and it was perfect. I had my own little space, my own little cubicle with my pictures up, and it was wonderful and amazing. But I think I had gone so fast that I didn't even give myself time to sort of like take a breath and figure out, is this what I actually wanted? Did I study the right thing? Because I sort of just chose the things I chose. And I'm glad I did. It sort of full circled back to now because I did study like media and communications and things like that. But it was definitely this like desperate need to see what else I was capable of, really.
So I know there are various types of yoga, and I know yoga has become like extremely westernized over here. What type of yoga do you do, and why did you choose that type?
At the time, My first yoga class ever was Vinyasa Flow. And then I took a Bikram yoga class. And I know that's like a
Oh,
hot
yeah.
term.
Yes, it
Like, God bless him wherever he's at. But I started, and I had no idea who this Bikram guy was at the time. I just like was at the studio taking hot vinyasa flow classes, and then was like, oh, let me sign up for this. It wasn't even called Bikram, it was called Hot 20, what is it, 26 and 2. And I was like, oh, let me try this. And then immediately was in it. I was like, this is my entire life. I have to do this every day. I need to teach this. What is this? And then, of course, once I got into training, I sort of learned everything about it and about the guy and everything. And so that was like, that was funny and hilarious because here I am, just like, know nothing about yoga, know nothing about anything about this sort of lineage. And I'm just like getting smacked in the head with this. But my training as a whole was, it was 250 hours of vinyasa training and then 250 hours of Bikram training. And they did this cool, the school I studied at did this cool like merging of the two. So you were able to sort of like build classes using vinyasa and Bikram. So it was like a fusion class that they taught us. And so I was doing that for a while. And
What do you feel like some of your, I guess, how has it like transformed not just your body, but even like your mind, like doing yoga for this long?
Oh gosh. I attribute yoga, and honestly, that centering, which for me, I believe is God, and for anyone listening, it's sort of like your own perspective of what a higher power is. If you have that, if you're listening to this podcast, I assume you do sort of have this like spiritual kind of esque about you. So for me, yoga was really about that part of me that was able to tune in so much to that voice inside, to that clarity inside. And even now, as I've sort of moved out of this sort of like all-encompassing yoga space, and I've moved into sort of a more, I guess, almost liberal way of doing things. You know, it's like we have the Pilates of the world, we have all these different sort of athletics. We have like hot bar now at yoga studios. So like it's expanded into so much, but I think what I really learned from yoga was that centering and quieting enough, that moving meditation to really hear from something that's outside of me. And I think yoga also gave me this ability to persevere for something. You know, before yoga, I couldn't do a split, you know, and now I can do a split. So it was like this thing where it was increments where I saw progression. It was years before I could do a split, but like years later, here we are. So we see like the progression, which is cool.
Well, number one, let me say people underestimate the split. Like it's something that I personally also have like strived for in my life. So that's been like a lifelong journey. But I don't know, it always feels like a sense of accomplishment when you can split both ways.
Right, I know that. I'm like, I would love to do like the middle split.
Yes, that's it, is the middle. It's like when I was in high school, I was taking this kind of like jazz dancing class, and you had to like one of your metrics like to pass was to be able to do like the normal split, but we never did like the horizontal split, but I always wanted that. Still can't do that, but I envy the split on a personal level. I see women do it at gym and I'm like, how did you get there? There is power in that. I am Michelle, I really wanted to touch on hearing like the inner voice and how yoga brought you to this, because I will say after speaking with a lot of people and even my friends and family, you know, we talk about, you know, your relationship with God, but also hearing like the voice of spirit inside of you. A lot of people struggle with that. So I would love to hear like how, you know, yoga kind of brought you to that and what's your experience with that?
Yoga is so interesting because it's this moving meditation. And if you're, I mean, especially if you're in a hot room doing it, you're like partially dying and trying to avoid death. but also like experiencing this beautiful expansion inside of you and outside of you. You nail the pose, even though we're not supposed to be thinking about that in the room, but like you nail the pose or these little things that you think about. And giving, for me, giving myself, and this goes for everything, like whether I'm on a bike ride or I'm walking my dog, giving my mind, rather, giving my body something to do, it forces my mind to be present. Like if I live in Los Angeles. If I'm riding a bike and not present, bad idea. Do not do it. Put your helmet on, ride on the sidewalks, and be very present. And so, in a yoga class or any sort of activity, really, I mean, walking my dog, I live in Santa Monica, and I was like crossing the street, and there's a stop sign, and there was a car coming, and I was like, oh, he's gonna stop for the sign. And so I'm about to get on the road and he doesn't stop. And then he like halfway stops after the sign and he yells out his window, sorry, and keeps going. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is crazy. It's just like this like lack of presence, I think, that just like exists around us is detrimental to ourselves, but also like so detrimental to other people too, because you can hurt people. So all that to say, having something for my body to do, it allows my mind to sort of zone in and zone out and really kind of pinpoint and focus. And, a promise that we have from God or from source or spirit, any sort of higher intelligence that you sort of tap into to help your own intelligence, I think. A promise that we get, especially, I read the Bible a lot, and it's the first book ever written, and it's so ancient, and there's just a lot of stuff in there. And I've read the Bhagavad Gita, I've read Autobiography of a Yogi, I've read an eclectic sort of lots of books, read lots of books. I even studied Buddhism, so I read when I was studying at a temple, I read all of the books that were assigned to me. So there's this like inner knowing that every religion speaks about that is all about quieting, be still, and know I am God. That's like a verse about being still. And I know in yoga or these different activities, you're moving, but there's this like moving meditation. So you can silence your mind even in that movement when it's designed that way. You know what you're doing. Someone's like, okay, Chaturanga, okay, upward facing dog. You know these movements that are happening. And so you can kind of trust your body to do that. So you can trust your mind to sort of tap in. And I think when we're so present, that's when we really hear the voice of God, I think, And also just asking too, like, hey God, I really need you, really need to hear you right now. Like, my gosh, like 2 weeks ago, I was on a tear. I was like mad at God, mad at the world. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I was like cursing. I don't say bad words. And I was saying, like, God, what the F? I'm effing sad. And I was saying this all just in my room. My dog's like, what is going on right now? And what I felt like spirit prompted me to like grab my journal and start journaling. So I journal like 8 pages that night, and I'm asking God questions out loud, and I'm like journaling what he's telling me, obviously like in my brain. And I'm like, it's a collaborative experience. I'm like, what do you mean by this? And he's like 8 pages in, and now I go back to those 8 pages, and they're so sacred and special to me, because that was a moment where I was so clearly attuned to the voice of God, the voice of spirit, the voice of our creator, and I think that comes from being able to be still.
So many people would probably want to ask you, what does the voice of God sound like? How would you even answer that question? Because, don't think, have I asked anybody this before? Probably not on the show, probably with my friends, right? But not on here. I wonder what it sounds like for you. But before you answer this question, because I am deeply curious, you do yoga. You have deep faith when it comes to your relationship with God. You do Bible study, things that other people might say it's very contradictory, from society, you know, from society itself. I'm just like, what is God to you, and what does God's voice sound like to you? I'm very curious. I know it's a very big question, so because I will tell you what God sounds like to me. It might not, I don't know. Sometimes it's a joke, you know. There's some laughter, you know, and not take everything so seriously. Or there's serious moments too. But I would love to know what it sounds like, even in your moment of fury and anger. How did you know it was the voice of God, and how did you trust the messages that you received?
This made me think of a story quickly. My friend the other night at Bible study, she was like, "God's so funny. We just play together." And they were playing, she was playing hide and seek with God, and she like mimicked what they were doing. And I was like, "Man, in any other space, you would just be like thought of as a nutcase. You know, you're playing hide and seek with some invisible guy. Like, what is going on?" But being in like a safe space, it's like, no, yeah, like God is so funny actually, and he like does tell jokes. And I think the voice of God for me sort of changes throughout the seasons. I've heard the audible voice of God. Last year he told me two things, and I was on a fast, 3-day fast, and I was like, okay, I don't know what really, God, I think this fast is just about getting close to you and hearing you, so you tell me. And halfway through the fast, obviously I'm like dying. I'm so hungry. And I'm like, oh, why did I do this? And then God is like, he told me these two sentences that I've carried with me to this time. But that was right now the most audible I've heard him. And it's written all over the Bible that people audibly hear him. They see like a burning bush like Moses. And so that's, I've heard him audibly just that one time so far. And I hear him a lot. It's like this internal, it's not a voice, it's just this like knowing, I suppose. And I propose a question, and it's almost like your gut. You know, he's like almost my gut. That's, I almost akin him to that, or her, it, you know, got it. Doesn't have gender or sex, you know. I attest the voice of God to that sort of like immediate knowing, you know, before the self-doubt, before any sort of worthiness or unworthiness comes into the conversation. It's just purely automatic, and that intuition, you know, like intuitive awakening, you know, it's this intuitive sense that you have. And dreams too, it like I could go on so many things, but like dreams and even just journaling, you know, like the artist way, you journal 3 pages a day. And, you know, I take many days off, but the days that I journal, I feel like I see, hear his voice coming through in just what I'm writing, you know? Yeah.
Were you ever skeptical, like when you're asking your questions and you're journaling, are you ever, like you said, it's a knowing, and yes, you know, that knowing that comes in first before all the second guessing, before all the noise that you get, like that, is that right? You know, I'm just making this up. How did you develop the trust? How did you know that the messages that you're receiving are from on high? And how did you, like, how did you develop that trust? Because I do meet people who, you know, how you meet people and they talk to you like, "Oh, I know I shouldn't have done that. I knew I shouldn't have done that." You know it because there's something telling you, even if it's not an audible voice, it's like an intuitive thing in your stomach that don't go that way. You know, don't pick up the phone, don't this and that, but you ignore it because you're not trained to believe that, okay, I can actually, you know, hear the message of spirit, that I too am a container. I can receive. You know, we're not trained to, most of us, I mean, I'm trying on this show, but most of us are not trained that way. So how did you develop like that sense of trust and knowing?
I think it's, of course, I guess I would say it took a long time, but it also didn't, because I grew up, my mother is a woman of God. I grew up in a Catholic household. My mom went to Catholic school her entire life. She's still Catholic. I go to the Catholic Church sometimes. I think there's something cool that happens when they're doing the Eucharist and saying all the things that they're saying and doing all the things that they're doing. So I always sort of had that as a grounding, as a foundation of like, oh, who's got like that curiosity. And I think that helped me now sort of decipher what is truly from spirit, from source, from God, and what's not, because I've seen the consequences. The story of Jonah in the Bible, he runs away from God, and because he runs away from God, he puts everyone on the boat that he's on in detriment. And they're like, why is God doing this to us? Pray to your gods. Everyone, pray to your gods. Figure out why. And Jonah's like, it's because of me. Throw me off the boat. And so all of this, and then he gets swallowed by a whale. It's not sound fun, but if God ordained it, I'll do it. I'll get swallowed by a whale. But there's like this, I think I've had the experience of running so far away from what I know to be truly God to this other lifestyle where I just like I was very like in the world and obsessed with worldly things. I mean, insofar as it relates to comparing yourself to others and trying to be something that you're not, or doing things that you know aren't aligned with your spirit. I think I've had so much experience with doing that that now it feels so good to be in alignment with my higher father, my God. It feels good. There's a difference now. I know that there's certain people who, if they call me and I pick up the phone, I know I'm gonna feel lower vibrationally than I did before I answered. So now I just don't answer. And that's hard because some of these people are my best friends for 10 years. But I think there's a discernment that grows at also as your relationship grows. And it's just not worth it anymore. You know, I can love you from here and give you so much love, but I think that's just part of knowing yourself, but like in that, like knowing God. And yeah, so I really attribute my childhood and my mom for really opening this door for me to see God in this way. And also allowing me to leave the Catholic Church, go study Buddhism, go study Hinduism, go study yoga, and then just to kind of come back and be like, I'm a disciple of Jesus. I am. I follow his principles. He taught love and compassion. I'm like, that sounds like truth. You know, Buddha, Siddhartha taught like goodness, like the basic goodness. You know, it's like that sounds like a great guy. I think I would have hung out with him if I was alive during his time. So it's like, I think all of these different things have really helped me, all these different teachings have really helped me discern and know and trust that I know what God is and I know what he's not. And he's also full of mystery. So he's revealing himself to me in new ways to all of us every single day. But I think there is that foundation that I've been given, and I'm so thankful for that.
One thing you said was getting answers, I think, through dreams or messages through dreams. I would love to hear more about this because, again, I was talking to actually this like mother and daughter duo. They teach like shamanistic lucid dreaming. They're amazing. But we also kind of talked about like how, at least from my standpoint and the way I was raised, a lot of people in America, let me preface it, aren't really, again, trained to look at your dreams as, messages from above, that again, we can receive in various different formats, answers to our prayers or answers that we have to questions in daily life. And I would love to hear how you've kind of received that even in the dream state, because we do discount it a lot.
Yeah, I think the dreamland stuff is, I've always heard to like journal your dreams, but it's been somewhat recently that, you know, it's written all over the Bible where people, prophets, got visual downloads, dreamed, visually saw something. And I think that sort of sparked my interest because I realized, oh, this is an untapped way that I can be communicated with in my sleep. And so tapping into it, insofar as it being a way to navigate life is like fairly new. And by that I mean like I've started journaling my dreams, or I'll like voice note them. And now I've been having such vivid dreams. It's so interesting. Even the other night, I'm going to Africa with my church this summer, and I had this dream the other night that my three friends from Bible study, we were like all together, and like I had left this event I was like feeling left out at, and then I found them randomly in this event. And one of my friends is like, our people, we go to Africa. And then I woke up and I was like, okay, because I was like, God, do I buy my flight? Like, am I going with the church? Like, blah, blah, blah. And that was like, yeah, you are going. And so I bought my flights and I officially confirmed it. And then like the other night, I'm watching this documentary, and the documentary is about, my therapist told me about it. It's called Christspiracy. And it's basically these guys go around the world asking heads of church, priests, they tried to get in contact with like the Dalai Lama. They go to all these different countries and they ask one question. They say, was Jesus a vegetarian? And it's like crazy, like what revelations have come from just asking that one question. And like people don't have answers, or they're like, oh yeah, he would have just like done this. And then as they're speaking, they're like, no, wait, he wouldn't have done that because he's compassionate and he taught love and all, he wouldn't kill. And they turn into this whole entire like 2-hour documentary that's blowing my mind. And I had a dream the other night of like, it was so interesting. I mean, I'm like, do I share it? It was like, it
Everyone's like,
had to do.
share if you're comfortable only.
Was like so weird. It was this, because I'm like, I've been vegetarian for 10 years, over 10 years, and I was vegan for like 4 of the first years. And then I transitioned into eggs and cheese. And then last year I had some bouts of like eating meat here and there. Like I only ate meat maybe like 5 to 10 times, but like that was more than any other year in the 10 years. And then this year I was like, okay, like, not gonna sort of give myself that back door anymore. And then I'm watching this documentary and I'm sort of asking God, I'm like, what is right? What is wrong? Like I'm really trying to, can I eat eggs or can I not? Like if the cheese is sustained ethically, can I eat the cheese? And then I had this dream 2 nights ago where it was like this like weird like pig baby or something, and it wasn't alive, it was like dead, and it was like, it looked like perfectly pristine. And in the dream, the people around me were getting ready to like make this like weird pig baby thing and eat it. And in the dream, I was like, I'm not gonna eat that. I'm not gonna eat that thing. So then I like walked to the kitchen and I made a quesadilla. And then the dream ended. And I was like, God, you are so funny. What are you saying right now? And I think it was just him reassuring me that like my vegetarian journey is like, I'm right. I'm stay with that. And also like cheese is okay. Just like watch where I'm getting it from, because I made a quesadilla in the dream, but like I didn't eat this like thing that they were, it was so weird. So anyways, I think dreams, I have such a portal into our subconscious, a portal into God being able to speak to us very clearly, even though sometimes we have to be like, whoa, all right, what did that mean? Because that was crazy.
100%. One of my friends I work with, she whenever she has these crazy dreams, she calls me every morning. She's like, oh, I don't want to forget, so I called you and let me tell you, and what do you think this means? And it's a common thing that we have, which I feel very grateful for, because I do value the dream world a lot. I think, yes, God does speak to you through dreams. I am very curious. Like, again, I feel like I'm asking you like really big questions. How would you define God? If you had to define God for you, I guess. I know it's a big question.
Lover of my soul, savior of my soul, keeper of my soul. I think there's something very, he's like so special to me. And of course, I say he, but there's no gender or sex. I think I just grew up that way. Growing up Catholic, God's always just been a he. But not in the way that I see him as like this like man. I see him as this like loving, gentle creator who also who's slow to anger, as you know, the word says. And I define him as the lover and keeper of my soul and all that is good. And he really he's the meaning and the purpose. My only prerogative in life is to please my creator and in that just make him happy, and because he wants me happy. And I didn't do anything. He made me, you know, I didn't ask to be made. And so to have this relationship with a creator, which is what I believe, if you believe that, a creator, I think it's so special because it's like, it's almost like a dad, you know? It's like, what's up, pops? You know, thanks for waking me up today. We must still be on the mission. We must still be on assignment because I'm awake today.
I like that. I like the fact that it's a mission. I think a lot of people, well, maybe not a lot, but many people I've met feel like, yeah, they're here for a reason and there's a mission, you know, for them being here. So I have to ask you, because I think I said this earlier, but many, maybe I just consume a lot of crazy things, but I know we find some, I'll just say evangelical, because I think that's the easiest way to put it. Or church leaders who find a lot of are unable to reconcile any other faiths with Christianity. And you studied Buddhism, right? You studied other faiths. How were you able to like reconcile like what you believe, like what you believe as a Christian with the other, with even your yoga practices? Because I do, you know, see some church leaders who tell their, you know, congregants, don't practice yoga, it's of the devil, or, you know, don't study any other faiths. How do you, in a personal level, kind of like reconcile all of that?
So I was questioning a lot, and so I was like, okay, I'm gonna study yoga, I'm gonna study Hinduism, which was wrapped up in yoga anyways. I'm gonna study Buddhism purposely. But I remember the first day studying at this Buddhist temple, I raised my hand and I said, I believe in Jesus, can I still be here? And they said, absolutely, yes. I'm so glad you have a seat here. So I've always kept God. You know, as it relates to Christianity, this sort of God we have, and it's really one God. We just like sort of perceive him in different ways in our different cultures, which is beautiful and eclectic. And so I've always sort of had this like meshing of all the religious worlds coming together. And yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I necessarily still practice yoga in the way that I did back then. And I understand pastors and pastors what they're saying, but I also think that it's actually really important that we go off and see for ourselves. It's not that I lacked belief in a God in any point of my life. Maybe I identified as agnostic for a couple of years, but I was never atheist, so I always believed in something. And I think there's power now in my own testimony in saying that I have studied these things, and I think there's beauty and light in all of it. And I did full circle, like I did a 180 right back to the faith that I originated from with my mom. But I think that it's stronger now because of the fact that she and God, I, my family, just let me sort of go and explore. You know, I don't think this, I think, you know, we're given self-control. And discipline is such an important attribute. But I think in that, there's also wisdom in understanding other points of views and understanding other gods, other religions, so that you can come back stronger, whether it's Christianity or, you know, whatever it is that you identify as. I come now stronger in my faith because I'm like, yeah, like I honor and respect every single human being. And I just believe human rights. If you are a living, not even a living human, if you were just living, you deserve rights. That is my view on everything. And so anything that has to do with like, oh, you believe in something, I don't believe in that. Cool. Like, yes, please go believe in the things that you believe in and like show me the light in what you believe. And never trying to like pull someone, you know, I'm never gonna sit here and be like, you are bad and wrong. You have to follow Jesus. Look, God calls us all at the time that he calls us in different ways. I'm not, the Bible says two specific things about what I'm supposed to do, and it is to love God and to love my neighbor as myself. It says no judgment, no condemnation. So there's, if judgment is coming out of anybody's mouth, especially if from a Christian's mouth, that is not biblical. That is not biblical, and I can point it out in the word that says we're not to judge. And so any sort of, that's why I'm like, that's why I am an ally to LGBTQA plus. That's why I do, like, I stand up for animal rights. Like I'm not called to judge and condemn. You know, if the Bible says something, yes, like let's pray about it and we can open up that larger context, because even I don't understand why it says certain things, and I'm still trying to figure out why God said those things as well. And it's just about, like, I think, what's the word? Like opening your mind and just allowing yourself to sort of like be washed in the truth of like your God. Because I think no matter what, you're gonna be led to goodness. That's really what I believe. I really believe we're
Yeah.
all basically good. And if there's hate, that's because of something that's like deeper inside, you know, like self-hate or the hatred for the way you grew up, hatred for the way like you look, and that comes from not accepting yourself with how you look, you know, which it takes a process. I had a therapist for years be like, look, that's what's wrong with you. Get out of my office. And I was like, I know, but I just need someone to reaffirm that in me. So like it happens, you know? So yeah.
Yeah, my sister, my younger sister, she struggled with some, things personally, and she finally came to the conclusion. She said this to me a few years ago. She was like, "This is my face. Deal with it. This is my face. Deal with it. Like, this is what it's gonna be, and it's okay." Like.
Yes, we were all given the face, the body that we need for the mission, for the appointment at hand on planet Earth right now. You know, it's I'm hoping we are all partying. It like when we die, I hope it's a party. I hope we get to like go and cruise around all the universes and see what's good with the aliens. Like I really hope that. And like it's not gonna matter what we look like. It's just like society that's like, oh, you should look this way, you should be this way. And it's like, who by whose standards? This isn't, I'm not holding my standard to anyone except for the highest standard, which is a spirit, the God, the creator of all of it.
Exactly. I have to ask you about your 3-day fast. I have to know about this. So, what was the impetus for this? Why did you do it? Like, why do a 3-day fast?
3 days of fast, or the 3 day fast are funny, and I can say that now because I've done so many, and I do them at specific times throughout the year, and I got one coming up soon, so pray for me. But they do not get easier, which is fine. They're not meant to be easy. They are meant to push you to the edge and see if you will revert or if you're going to grow. And I think the reason I did it is because there's a book in the Bible called, it's the Esther, and she calls her land to on a fast so that they can repent and hear from God, like hear next steps, hear what's going on. And so they all as a village fast for 3 days, and they get great results at the end. And so that was sort of my first inkling about it. But then of course Jesus fasted for 40 days, Daniel fasted for 21 days. So fasting is just very highlighted, I mean in the Bible, but just in culture in general. And besides the spiritual facts, the benefits of health in general after 3 days of atrophy, like 3 days of fasting, atrophy happens with your cells, and that's basically cell turnover. So your cells are basically rejuvenating themselves. So it may feel like you're killing yourself in the moment, but you're not. You're actually really helping your body. I mean, 24-hour fasts are incredible as well, but a 3-day fast really allows that cell turnover to come into full completion. I mean, 7 days is crazy. I don't know if this lifetime is a 7-day fast life for me now. because I'm still working on the 3 days, but I think it was really just this need to grow closer to God and to really hear him and for breakthrough and to just like grow in intimacy and to know that I could do it. Like, hey God, you have everything. The next 3 days, I literally am not gonna eat. I'm only gonna drink water. And you're the reason, you're gonna sustain me and you're gonna help me through it. And he always does. And whether it's like telling me what to read in the Bible or what to journal, what to watch, a sermon or a walk or with my dog or anything, there's always something there that he's sort of revealing to me. Because I love food. And I know food is a distraction to me sometimes. Like if I'm bored, you'll catch me in my kitchen and eating. And that's it. If I'm bored, if I'm driving, if I'm watching something, I'm like, all right, let's make cookies. Let's get some chips. Let's go down to Chick-fil-A, get some fries. So I'm always like, food. And of course, everyone's like, let's get food. Let's get. And I'm like, yeah, let's get food. This is a great hangout. So 3 days of sort of giving that to the higher good of myself, it also brings confidence because I know I can do it. And so it makes me stronger in my confidence as well.
Do you think that you had more like profound experiences with God during your fasting?
Yes and no. I've had usually there is at least one moment that everything comes together. There was a fast I did in October. I was at my mom's house in Florida, and I ended it was Halloween night was the last day of my fast, and I didn't plan it this way, it just happened this way. There's a bunch of freaking candy everywhere and I'm dying and I'm like, what? And I feel like God said I could end the fast 2 hours early. So I was like taking my last like hour upstairs by myself, journaling, really asking God these questions and like making sure it was okay for me to break this fast and can I eat this candy and all this stuff. And he was like, yeah, just like spend an hour with me. And he really like sort of laid out a lot for me and just like bullet points of like different aspects of my life that sort of needed some like a puzzle piece, and like there was different pieces that were out of order and they needed to come into order. So he sort of did that for me. And then there's some fast where like at the start of this year, I brought the new year in on a fast, and that fast I like stopped smoking weed. Like he showed up in being that he broke like this addiction that I had to THC for so long. I spent a lot of time growing up in Florida. There was nothing to do but smoke weed with your friends and drink beer at 14. And like I love Florida, like come on, my Floridians. Like my mom's there, my sister's there, my niece was just born in a super small town I went to high school in, so like I'm here for Florida, but it's so different because I feel like, and that's everywhere I'm sure, but it's interesting thinking about like, oh wow, what if I had like a kid and grew and they grew up in LA? Like I feel like there's so much to do. I don't know if I would do that. I don't know where I'm gonna have my kids yet, but it's like it is interesting seeing the different ways that we grow up. But
No, I think that's incredible. Yes, I know people and from different cultures, they have times of the year that they fast, for spiritual reasons. So I'm always really curious, are those more profound experiences for people? Can they hear God better? Can they see visually better? Is there a deeper connection like in those particular moments?
Yeah, and you know what? I actually heard someone say once, he was like, and I wasn't fasting at the time. I was just listening to some podcast or something, and he was like, you're fasting right now when you should be celebrating. And that of the whole thing like stuck with me because it was sometimes I think I had this mindset of like, oh gosh, God's not answering. Oh my gosh, I need to just fast. I should just fast. Let me just like fast. But if God doesn't call me to a fast, I'm not going to gain any. I mean, I'll gain the physical benefits, of course, all the time. But as far as like connection with God or intimacy with God, if he didn't tell me, hey, do this fast, I'm not going to get anything from it. He told me in October at the end of that fast in October, when I was journaling, he told me for this year, he gave me all the dates that I was supposed to fast in that moment. And so now I know, okay, I was to start my year with it, and then I know the next it's coming up, the next one, and then the next one, and so forth. And so I know, but it's never like the other night I was telling you, like 2 weeks ago, I was like screaming and like cursing and all these things. And it came to my mind for a second. I was like, oh, I'm kind of struggling here, God. Should I fast? Should I just like fast or something? I did end up fasting for 24 hours, 2 days. So I like fasted and then I ate a meal at night and then I fasted and I ate a meal at night. But that was so unintentional. Like I was just so bummed out. I just didn't even eat. And then by the nighttime came, I ate, and then I was like, wow, I just 24-hour fast. And then I felt like I was called to do that one more time, but like intentionally. And so I did. So that was sort of one that came like, randomly. But as far as like a full 3-day fast, I feel like he's really intentional with me because it's easy to just think like, oh yeah, like I'm just gonna fast for 3 days and I'm gonna hear God. No, like, I've done a fast for 3 days and I was getting to the end of it and I was like, what's going on? And God was like, I didn't tell you to fast. And I was like, oh, okay. So let me be more intentional about when you're telling me to fast.
I think that's incredible. I've never done that in a personal sense, but I do have a lot of respect for it because it takes a lot of discipline to to go several days without eating. But Michelle, I'm so glad to have met you and have you here. I know you also not only just did yoga, but you also know various types of meditation, like transcendental. There's so many things that we didn't get to talk about today. But again, happy to have you here and have this deep talk. So thank you for opening up like part of your life with me and all the other listeners. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me and just listening. And yeah, I'm so excited to just keep listening to your podcast and all the great people you bring on here.
Thank you, Michelle. Until next time, everybody, take care.
Yeah.